Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's text is recorded in the 7th chapter of St. Mark, beginning reading at the 32nd verse in Jesus' name. Then they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to put his hand on him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers in his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then, looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." Immediately his ears were opened, and the impediment of his tongue was loosed. And he spoke plainly. Then he commanded them that they should tell no one. But the more he commanded them, the more widely they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." This is our text. Fellow redeemed in Christ, this text is also a parable, not just a miracle, about our lost condition and God's love. Verse 32 pictures persistent demands of crowds of fallen sinners and his own disciples who continually taxed Jesus' ministry. Then they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to put his hand on him. From the beginning, when Jesus healed a man with an unclean spirit, St. Mark tells us in chapter 1, right, verse 26, Jesus' fame spread everywhere. And then 10 verses later, in verse 36, the disciples come up to him and he says, "Everyone is looking for you." They wanted their friends and relatives healed. So much so that Jesus actually had to pull a boat out when they got by the Sea of Galilee, away from the shore, as St. Mark writes, lest they crush him. Crowds were bringing their sick, their demon-possessed. They're blind, they're crippled. Everywhere people cried out, "Heal me." Jesus hardly had time to preach, as he points out on one occasion. Meanwhile, in his hometown of Nazareth, they were astonished at his claims. And what? They took offense, it says. Meanwhile, even his own family tried to seize him. And why? For being out of his mind. His family? His hometown? Thus the well-known phrase, "A prophet hath no honor in his own country, in his own city." And that was certainly the case. Jesus left and he went and began to preach elsewhere for people who would appreciate him. But not even his close disciples, like his family, could be trusted to believe him. Jesus performed amazing miracles. We recall feeding 5,000. But what does the text say there in that context? It says that the disciples' hearts were hardened. Not even they really believed what Jesus was doing. And then on other occasions that followed, like Jesus feeding the 4,000 was the same thing. And on a very interesting occasion, it says that the disciples had gone out with Jesus and, oh, they forgot to bring food along. And so now they were debating amongst themselves. You can imagine how the conversation might have gone. "Nathaniel, why didn't you bring the bread? I mean, what's going on?" Well, whatever that conversation was, we don't know. But we do know what Jesus said to them. He asked them as they were, what, discussing having no bread, St. Mark says. Do you not yet perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Jesus' close disciples. Do you not remember the 5,000, the 4,000? What I had done? So Jesus' comment to his disciples reminds us today's account is really a parable about our fallen condition, about our failure to take God at his word on occasion. By nature, we are deaf and mute, even though that's a politically incorrect term. The Oxford English Dictionary still uses it and points it out that that's a way of talking about a person who just can't hear and can't speak. And that's how we are spiritually, for which we all should repent, for not listening to Jesus, for not taking him at his word. We'll look at the miracle in a moment, but skipping to verse 36 captures the inability of these sinners and what, us? Even to obey God's simple commands. Jesus had healed the man, and then what does our text say? Commanded that they should tell no one. But of course they disobeyed. Wasn't it a small thing for them to be talking about Christ? I mean, after all, he had said, don't do it, but there wasn't anything wrong with that. No, there was a lot wrong with that, because Jesus had said, don't tell anybody. In fact, St. Mark records seven different occasions when Jesus performed miracles and commanded those present not to tell anyone. Why? Wasn't Jesus one who was continually telling us to go and to teach others, to preach to others? What could be so bad about it? Jesus in Mark 1:44 healed a leper and, notice, strictly warned him to say nothing to anyone, but the leper disobeyed, told everyone, and at the expense of Jesus' ministry. That was the point. Jesus' plan was to continue preaching the gospel in that city, not performing miracles. Because the leper disobeyed, St. Mark tells us, Jesus could no longer openly enter the city because of that. That's why Jesus was telling them, be quiet, because every time somebody was told that a miracle had taken place, thousands of others came looking for Jesus to heal them. They didn't care about him, that he was the Messiah necessarily. They just wanted their loved ones healed. Such disobedience threatened to derail Jesus' messianic work, since his fame was now beginning to set Jewish leaders against him, and they wanted Jesus' blood now. Jesus had his own set time when he was going to go to the cross, but it wasn't now. He had preaching to do. And that's why he said things at times which people might have thought were unimportant, but they were very important. Jesus could have tired of the crowds, considered doing all those things, and his own faithless disciples. As God in the flesh, he was, however, committed not to condemning sinners, but to redeeming us. And today's example shows his personal love for a sick man. This person could not hear nor speak, but Jesus communicated with him in a really strange way, put his fingers into his ears. Notice that was a communication. It wasn't words that were caressing the inside of his ear. It was Jesus' fingers. And then Jesus spit upon his fingers and now touched his tongue, another kind of communication. But that wasn't really the miracle. The miracle came not through those means, but rather through the spoken word. And so we hear Jesus say, Ephphatha, be opened. And the text makes it clear, immediately the man heard everything and spoke correctly. The power of God's word. This parabolic miracle symbolizes the power of Christ and what he does for all sinners, for us, who by nature cannot hear or believe the gospel or confess Christ with our tongue. To this day, God continues to create faith in our heart through word and sacraments. Our ears hear the preached word. That's how God still works. After Pentecost, when his disciples finally believed Christ, they healed cripples who leaped through the temple, and then Jesus, by his own words here, caused the deaf to hear all sorts of miracles taking place. And today we see, embodied in the act of Christ and those other things, really, the fulfillment of prophecy, spoken 700 years before by Isaiah 35, 5 and 6. "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened," wrote Isaiah, "and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing." Today in faith, we affirm verse 37. "He has done all things well." This echoes the "it was good" of the creation account, recalling that God kept the messianic promises that he spoke in the Old Testament and brought them to fruition in his Son, Jesus Christ. The man of sorrows who went to the cross, wounded, crucified for our sins, so that we fallen creatures would be a new creation, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We're no different than those crowds in Jesus' day. We need a Savior. And just as God kept his Old Testament promises, so he will keep his New Testament promises to us. We're in the same ratio to the promises as were the disciples. They had all the Old Testament promises, but they failed to listen to them. They failed to believe them. Are we the same way? These are things that call upon us to repent of our sins and to believe Christ, because these New Testament promises are sure things that shall come to pass. As a junior in high school, I lost all sight in one of my eyes due to an accident. And then last May, because of a double ear infection, I was deaf for 2 weeks. I could hear nothing. I was at my son-in-law's graduation where he was getting his PhD. It was just silent. I couldn't hear a thing. God's grace, both sight and hearing were restored. But by our nature, we cannot spiritually see or correctly hear the message of salvation. God the Holy Spirit, however, in the gospel has granted us saving faith and continues to do so, so that we hear, we see the truth about Christ's full and free salvation, his forgiveness and hope of everlasting life, guaranteed to us through Christ, and we confess it. And we can't confess it if you are silent and afraid to do that. You can't do it without the Holy Spirit, which will, in fact, give you that courage through the very same word that granted you faith. Don't be like Christ's disciples, doubting it. Believe it with all your heart today and until the end of your days. Amen. And pray. And everlasting God, who created all things, we thank you that you have given us sound bodies and have graciously preserved our tongues and other members from the power of the adversary. We beseech you, grant us your grace, that we may rightly use our ears and tongues. Help us to hear your word diligently and devoutly, and with our tongues, so to praise and glorify your grace, that no one is offended by our words, but that all may be edified by them. Through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.